Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Adam Wozniak, and I'm joined here today by my good friends and co-hosts, Darren Parkerson, Joy McDonald, and Ryan Smith. How you doing, guys?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Doing good, man.
Doing
trying to
great.
Get through summer classes.
Oh, yeah. Almost done. What you got? A couple more days.
Yeah. Wednesday's the last day. So
Wednesday. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we got a little extra time before fall starts, I think, compared to last year.
A couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah. As I was looking at it, I was like, oh, man, I got to keep working. Can't wait.
Yeah, once again, I'm not quite sure where the summer went, but here we are again.
Oh, yeah. I went here, man. I went here.
Seems to happen every summer. Every summer just flies by.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So today we got two guests. We got two for today. Glad to be joined today by Zach Thomas and Jared Stump.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Great to be here, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Now, Zach, you're the franchisee, or what's the correct nomenclature?
That
franchisee,
works. Yep.
All right,
yep.
Of a Chick-fil-A and Rock Mart, and you and Jared both wrote a book together, right?
That is correct.
All right, well, why don't you tell me a little bit about the book, man? That sounds exciting.
Yeah, so several years ago, I was sitting around just thinking about my leadership journey and the things that I've been through in life, and former military, and coming out of the military, I had this like command and control style leadership, and being a Ranger instructor in the Army, my goal was to put the fear of God in people, right?
How long were you doing that?
That was my last job in the Army. I did it for about 2.5 years before I got out. And that was pretty much my role, was to just put the fear of God in people and make people do push-ups so their arms fell off or cry for their mother, whichever one, you know. So then I found out, or I decided to pursue ministry full-time, and I was going to go back in the Army as a chaplain. And started pursuing that, started going to seminary, and went and worked at a church. And in the process of all that, started my own business, started a coffee company, and sold coffee literally all over the world. We were in Newsweek magazine and on Good Morning America, and really, really cool. Just the things that I learned through that and being an entrepreneur.
What was that business called?
Ranger Coffee Company.
Ranger Coffee.
Yeah. It's still there. It's still around. Sold the company. It's rangercoffee.com. We created a hyper-caffeinated blend of coffee. We were the first hyper-caffeinated blend, and we kind of launched at about the same time the caffeine craze. They call it Caffeine Nation.
Oh,
so
yeah.
A lot of those drinks like, you know, Monster and Rockstar and all that stuff. And we were featured in a Good Morning America show with all of those people. And then, of course, they kind of took off, and I ended up selling the company during the economy downturn and started looking for other options, and that the whole Chick-fil-A thing started then. But going back to the story of my leadership journey of being that really high-strung command and control style leader, and then going in the ministry, and really I became somewhat passive in my leadership approach. When I went from being this Ranger instructor, I was almost anti, like, I don't want to be like that anymore. And so I became very passive in my leadership approach. And so when I became a Chick-fil-A operator, I was coming right out of that. And I had this philosophy that if I just loved everybody enough, they'd do the right thing. And
ideally,
right, in a perfect world. But then I very soon discovered that that's not the case, and got so I got taken advantage of pretty significantly. And so fast forward a little bit, there were a couple, talk about it in the book, but there were a couple of accidents. I got hit by a car and was thrown up in the air and came down and landed head first on the windshield and was projected about 50 feet forward. And
that happened in front of your restaurant?
Yeah, that happened right in front of my restaurant. And I was walking back from Starbucks. I had a couple meetings with some leaders. And long story, but a car just came out of nowhere and hit me. And it's funny, all my staff, they were there. They saw it happen. And they just ran out of the restaurant and left. All, like, customers were standing there at the counter. And they're like, what just happened? Like, where'd all the staff members go? And they stopped traffic. And he ended up medevacing me to the Atlanta Medical Center, and fortunately, I didn't have any long-term damage, but I did have some pretty significant concussion.
Yeah, I think so, man. Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah, I didn't even know I was a Chick-fil-A operator for a while. I didn't know my wife. This is pretty funny. My wife was pregnant with my son, and my brain would like reboot every 10 minutes, and people would come in, "Oh, how far along are you?" and talking to my wife, and I'd be like, "What? You're pregnant?" And so like every 10 minutes I rediscovered that my wife was pregnant. And at one point I asked her if it was mine. That did not go over very well.
So she didn't forget that in 10 minutes.
She did not. Not at all. No. And so yeah, we just that journey of that, and not too long after that, when my wife had my son, this was in October. And then the following March, my wife, we had our son, and we have six children, by the way. He's number four.
Congratulations. But,
thank you. Yeah. So after he was born, she ended up back in the hospital with postpartum eclampsia, which is extremely high blood pressure, and she almost died. And so through these two like life-altering experiences, I realized that I needed to change some things in life, and was just spending a lot of time reflecting on life and what really matters.
Well, that's adversity if I ever heard it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Getting hit by a car and life-threatening diseases coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So through all of that, just begin to think about life and what really matters. And, you know, I tell you that coming into my restaurant, sometimes my team members would wonder, which Zach are we going to get today? Like the Airborne Ranger guy? Or the pastor guy, like which one are we going to get today? The nice one or the one that just flips out about stuff? And I just was like, I don't want to be this person that's back and forth like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Mm-hmm. And so I really try to figure out a way to balance my leadership approach. And so that's what leader farming is all about. It's about this balanced leadership approach of really establishing boundaries, giving folks that are very results oriented, like I was, mm-hmm. you know, giving them a perspective that helps them see things in a different way and helping them say, okay, you can establish boundaries. In the military, I was a scout platoon leader and I was very autonomous. And so the way we did things, instead of going out and having everything like super scripted, it was like, hey, here's your left limit and here's your right limit. Don't shoot outside of those or you'll kill somebody, but anything you want to do inside of there is fine. And so setting those boundaries, establishing those boundaries, and being very clear with expectations up front is one way a results-oriented person can help themselves from becoming that tyrant, you know? Just right. saying, hey, here's the boundaries. Like, this is black and white, you know? This is what we expect, and I'm not going to be a jerk. If you don't do these things or if you do them wrong, I'm just going to come alongside you and say, hey, look, I love you. I care about you, but you can't work here anymore. And so that establishing boundaries and then cultivating culture. And we use the word cultivate because of the whole my background farming, growing up on a farm. And just we talk a lot about just the cultivation of the culture and the things that go into that, making that soil fertile so that it will grow.
Right.
And then a leading in freedom. And so that freedom leadership is we dive into pretty deep, just talking about that balance between that command and control style leadership and a passive leader and finding that middle ground that actually helps you have perspective if you're very results oriented. And then it gives you permission if you're very relationship oriented to hold people accountable.
Mm-hmm. Now, has this transition to, I guess, the just being the one Zach instead of the two, like, is that,
yeah,
have you really felt the impact that, you know, being done? And
yeah, I don't feel like a schizophrenic person anymore. I'm not multiple personalities. I am very much the same person. In fact, my mantra now is esse quam videre, which is Latin for to be rather than to appear. And so many people kind of pose like they're one person here and a different person there. And so my goal is just to be the same person consistently all the time. And so I've found, like I said, you know, I'm very results oriented. And so I've found perspective, especially through, right. you know, the life altering circumstances, but it's found perspective to see, hey, this is what's really important. And so my result that I focus on the most, instead of focusing on, you know, sales and profit, which those are all important. But I found out that if I actually make my number one metric that I'm tracking is the number of leaders that I produce. And so, you know, like the whole leader farming thing is, some people grow corn, some people grow potatoes. I grow leaders. That's what I do. And so my goal is to produce as many leaders as possible. Mm. I've actually produced three other Chick-fil-A franchisees out of my restaurant and another one that's in the leadership development program at corporate right now. I have one that just graduated from United States Naval Academy. I got another one that's graduating from West Point, my alma mater, next year.
All right.
And so just constantly churning out leaders. And that's the goal. I think when you do that, when you focus on them, help them become the best version of themselves, then they in turn actually leave a trail of high performance in your organization and just perform way more than you could ever expect.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds fantastic. And in case the listeners missed it, Leader Farming is the name of the book.
Correct.
By Zach Thomas and
Jared Stump.
Yeah, and Jared Stump.
I could have done it without him.
Yeah.
Say hi, Jared.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Yeah, where you been, man? How's it going?
I'm here. Yeah. That was fantastic. The way that I had nothing to add to what Zach said. But yeah, I came along in the process about 2 years ago and started doing this full time a year ago. And when Zach was pitching this to me, I believed in it so much that I actually moved into a garage apartment in a converted single car garage. It was 187 square feet. And for about 9 months, I lived in this garage and ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and had coupons for free Chick-fil-A sandwiches that Zach sent me when I wanted a break. And I just committed really a year of my life to get this book out there because I believe that it was important and it was a message that business owners needed to hear. And, you know, I think a lot of business owners struggle with what Zach talked about, well, I want to care about people, but there's also a bottom line. And so I can't care about people too much. It's almost like I can't be myself and who I truly am because we have a bottom line and results. And I don't want people to take advantage of me when the truth is actually the opposite. When people feel that you're just this stoic, cold, impersonal person that just cares about the bottom line, that's actually when they're really motivated to take advantage of you, not when they see that you care and they see that you're invested in them as people. And even the research that we found from different professors, like there's a professor Adam Grant at the University of Pennsylvania in the Wharton School of Business, that actually his research that he's done confirms this, that actually if you choose to be a giver rather than a taker, to use his language, it actually comes back to you in the long run. That in the short term, it may look like you're losing. You know, it's kind of the mantra that society teaches us that, you know, nice guys finish last. But actually in the long run, you are more successful and really that's the path that Zach has chosen. And so it's really cool to see somebody of that caliber. His name's Adam Grant and he wrote a book called Give and Take. And it's cool to see that confirm what Zach is already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm just really excited to be a part of this process as the co-author and the researcher.
Well, that's interesting though, that, the theory or the main point behind everything was confirmed by it. How did you get in contact with that guy, with Adam Grant?
I haven't been in contact with him yet. I'd like to have lunch with him because we're both in the Philadelphia area. So if you're listening to this, Adam, let's go get some chicken sandwiches. But no, actually, I just stumbled across his book on Amazon. I mean, I love the way technology is. And I mean, you can literally just find other ideas. I mean, that's why we write a book, so that this can go beyond us. You know, we can't be everywhere at once. You know, we've never met Adam. He doesn't know who we are, but we stumbled across his book and a stack of other books. I actually have a stack in my office of books about 3 feet tall that I kind of researched for
just working on this reinforcing book. What I was already doing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It wasn't that the ideas came from that. It was rather, this is what Zach was already doing, and let's look around at through books, online articles, and let's see what other people are saying that are more on the research end of things.
Yeah, one example of that is in farming, we break it down into farming analogy or an acronym, and F stands for freedom leading, A stands for acknowledging the seasons and embracing turnover. So I'll pause there for just a second, but... So in the acknowledging seasons and embracing turnover piece, it's very counterintuitive to the business world. we spent some time doing some research there, and we discovered a guy by the name of Jeff Goodman. And we actually have been in contact with Jeff, and we've had several conversations with him. But Jeff Goodman actually owns Orange Leaf Frozen Yogurt, and he's got over 400 franchises across the country.
That's pretty successful.
Yeah, yeah. And so Jeff actually changed the mission statement of his company to be America's best first job. Like, just embracing the idea that this is a first job for most people. And so it's an opportunity for them to come and grow and learn, and then releasing them. And so we talk about embracing turnover. We talk about this idea of acknowledging the seasons. You know, as a farmer, you think about the seasons. There's spring, summer, fall, and winter, right?
Right.
And no matter what you do, they're going to come. Like, spring, summer, fall, and winter are coming no matter what. And so if you're in the middle of winter and you're like, you know, waist deep in snow, and that's your only perspective, then you're going to be frustrated. Like, if things are not going well in your business. But if you know that spring is coming, like, you, that gives you hope. Like, you know that things are going to turn around. And so part of that is just this abundance mentality, and not having a scarcity mentality, and just knowing that things will continue to come around.
There's comfort in that certainty that spring will be there.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to the embracing turnover piece. So, you know, that's one of the things. I share an analogy in the book. We call it the farm team analogy. If you think about it like this, if you are the coach or the manager for the Gwinnett Braves, right? Your entire purpose is to create talent for the major leagues. That's what you do.
Right.
Now, you're a team, so you have to win games, right? That's important too. But the more games you win and the more talent that you create for the major leagues, the more attractive your organization is.
Right.
So, like, seriously, you guys are millennials, and that's one of the things that we talk about in the book. It's just the business owners that are my age and older are really struggling with engagement for millennials. But how many of you would want to work for someone that says, hey, my goal is to help you get to where you want to be in life? And if that means you only work for me for 6 months or a year or 2 years, my entire purpose is to help you get to where you want to be.
Oh, that's
you want to work for me?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think that resonates a lot with all of us here, because that's the reason we're here, is this for this opportunity to learn and grow and go further.
Have you ever felt like that has been a hard transition for your business personally, as you grow these employees and they go on to leave your restaurant and become leaders elsewhere?
It is tough, but what you have to do is you have to set up sustainable practices in your business. And so one of the other things that we talk about in the book is the four elements of the business that you really need to focus in on if you're going to embrace this idea of turnover. And so we talk about those four elements. One, first and foremost, is a pipeline, a recruiting pipeline. Like, what does that look like? Are you focusing in on that? And do you have a pipeline? Think about the farm team, you know? Mm. Or even, you can even think about it in the context of high school or college sports. I mean, these we have very, very successful programs out there. Look at the University of Alabama, their football team, Nick Saban. You know, they've got an incredible program. No matter what they do, they lose their best players every year and get new ones every year.
Top 15, 20 of them gone every year.
Right. So there, he'd be disillusioned to think that he can keep these players for the rest of his life, right?
Yeah,
so why, as business owners, do we think that? Why do we try to guilt and manipulate and control people into staying when it may or may not be the best thing for them or for the business? And so embracing this idea of natural turnover and just creating a culture that says, hey, come work for me. I'll help you become the best version of yourself. I'll help you get to where you want to be in life. And in turn, you're going to perform at a level, like, you're going to come to work engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you know that I care about you and I have your best interest at heart.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Unique. I mean, you know, just from my experience, I've had a bunch of jobs, especially in the restaurant industry. My dad owns a restaurant, but, you know, just seeing it from that perspective, like, I mean, I've seen the morale where I work and stuff, and that's amazing. Like, you never... A lot of business owners come in there, like, their best interest is the money, like,
right.
The bottom line.
Right.
But, you know, that shift in focus to where you're actually focused on your employees' interest, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, to your point, though, it's not easy. And so, like I said, we came up with this, I know everybody can't see this, but it's just this little concentric circle diagram that shows the four elements of the book. We've talked the recruiting pipeline, the talent and leadership development program, like what are you doing? That's actually on page 199. And then the healthy soil, the culture, like what are you doing to continue to create fertile soil in your organization so that you will actually grow and produce leaders? And then a coaching staff. And so the coaching staff is twofold, all right? One, it's a coaching in terms of like executive coaching, the coaching mindset, like asking questions instead of just telling people what to do, actually helping them grow and learn versus micromanaging and dictating. But the other piece of this, it's kind of a dual purpose phrase, is that I have a lens, I look at everyone in my organization like through two lenses. One, are you talent for the major leagues? Are you joining my team because you want to help me produce talent for the major leagues? So then you become part of my coaching staff, right?
Right.
You're my coach that's going to be there with me to help me continuously produce talent. You've joined the cause. Like, hey, I want to be a part of this. Because, I mean, the reality is, and I have like 10 days left as the franchisee at Macklin Crossing in Marietta, Georgia, and I relocate and open in the brand new freestander in Rock Mart. And you can actually have more than one Chick-fil-A, but they have to be in the same market. And Marietta and Rock Mart are not the same market. So I have a long-term goal of multi-unit in Polk County. But you know, with that said, there may be people that live in Rock Mart that never want to leave Rock Mart, but they want to come join my team and help me produce talent for the major leagues. Help me, you know, help my farm team groom talent and launch people out of the organization. So I have a dream of one day, you know, here it is, Jared. You ready? I'll be sitting on my front porch in my rocking chair when I'm 85 years old. You know, what am I going to be thinking about? It's not, you know, how much money's in my bank account. It's not what kind of car I drive. You know, my kids will probably spend all my money. My car, I won't even have a license because the DMV probably took my license away. And it's not going to be how big my house is because I'll probably be living in a nursing home. It's going to be what did I do with the time, money, and resources I was given to make a difference in people's lives. Because that's what really matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you have a little more than six kids.
Yeah, I got like 90.
Yeah. Yeah. Something I've noticed with just Chick-fil-A in general, the service is always outstanding. I mean, you go to Wendy's or McDonald's. I mean, sorry, I have to put McDonald's on blast for a second. I mean, there's one off the Emerson exit, and it is by far the most diabolical McDonald's I have ever seen.
Wow.
They're consistently, I mean, it's one of the busiest, it's located right by one of the busiest truck stops in America. I mean, they can do whatever they want and they're still going to make money hand over fist. But I mean, they're consistently slow, wrong orders. It got so bad that one of the last times I went there, their managers were fighting. Two of them stormed, they actually ended up leaving the store. They left us in the drive-thru. With my card still in the register, they completely left us there. I had to walk into the store after waiting there for 20 minutes. Walked in there, I said, "So, did you forget about the drive-through?" They were like, "No, it's closed. Sorry." I'm like, "Actually, you guys left us out over there." Like, "Oh, sorry. Here's your card and my food." Yeah. And they just did not care. And then the Chick-fil-A across the street—it's the greatest service. I mean, everyone's just nice, and it's just—it's completely different. And I mean, so is there something that Chick-fil-A does in general? Because obviously you're doing, I mean, great things with this, but is there something in Chick-fil-A that they do?
Well, I think it starts with talent, you know, and I think what I can say that's very consistent with Chick-fil-A's across the board for the most part is that we spend a lot of time focusing on the selection of talent and the development of talent. I'd say I probably go through. Yeah, and it's actually decreased a little bit in terms of we just don't have as many applicants as we did when I first became an operator. But we'd go through 100 applications and hire 3 people out of 100.
Wow. And what are some of the things you look for in those applications?
Well, one of the things, it's not so much the application. A lot of times we don't even look at the application until we bring them in for an interview. So the application is primarily filled out for us to just get their contact information and invite them in for an interview. And but when we get them in there for an interview, I don't want to give away all my secrets here, man.
Yeah.
but we look for things, you know, natural leaders. You know, do they take initiative? We have a process that we actually take them through that they don't know what we're looking for. And we're watching for certain things. We're watching for initiative. We're watching for servant leadership. We're watching for different things. And then we have a particular document that we actually have them fill out in person. And we look for certain things in that. And we know by the end of that, a lot of times we know by the end of that first group interview, it's usually in a big group. We know by the end of that first group interview who we want. And then we bring them in for a second focused interview, which is a round robin with all of my leadership team. And they all ask different questions. Like this is, I don't even get involved until a third interview. And typically once they get to me, I'm cool with them because it's like my leadership team has already vetted them. And I trust them with that. I don't tell them what questions to ask. I don't, you know, my leadership team, I was like, look, you ask them whatever you want to ask them. And that's part of leadership development, you know, giving them that opportunity to come up with their own questions and learn how to interview people and learn how to select. And yeah, they're going to make mistakes. They're going to select some bad ones. And then I'll let them do it. And I'll sometimes say like, this one's not going to work out. And, I'll sit back and watch and I'll say, all right, we'll give it a week or two, you know, and then I'll tap them on the shoulder and be like, hey, what do you think? How do you think about that person? How are they doing? I don't think they're going to make it. I'm like, well, then we need to cut sling load before too long, you know, we need to get rid of them. And so, you know, and that's where we promote them to customer, right? I mean, instead of firing them, we just say, look, you know, we're actually promoting you to customer. And
do they ever come back in?
They do. I mean, we really focus in on having very clear expectations. And we just sit them down. We just say, look, you know, this is not for everybody. Like, you may be an amazing telemarketer, right? Uh-huh. But you're not great at serving chicken. And so, can I help you get a job with a telemarketer, you know? And so, it's really, rather than just going to someone saying, hey, you suck, right?
Right.
You can't work at Chick-fil-A. And we try to focus on the positive. We try to stay positive with it. So... yeah.
Well, and how many quick service restaurants do you know of that have three rounds of interviews? You know, normally it's just, oh, you want to work here? Here's a uniform. Go jump on the drive-thru.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big difference, more so than any one thing.
They might have like three tests, and it's like a drug test, background test, you know.
Online application.
And can you spell everything on the application correctly?
I don't even think you have to be able to do that at some places.
I don't even do drug tests or background checks.
Yeah.
I mean, because our process vets them so well that, I mean, in 9 years of doing this, I've never done a drug test. I've never done a background check. And we've been very successful with our selection process.
Mm-hmm.
And that costs money. That's just money that I can save.
Because those do get expensive.
They do. They get very expensive. And then, you know, you're not really looking for the heart. Like what's going on inside of here? Because if you can figure out what's going on inside of here, then you know that drugs are not part of the equation. You know that, you know, work ethic's going to be there, all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just the culture surrounded by Chick-fil-A is just amazing. Like you walk into Chick-fil-A and your day instantly comes better. I mean, you know, just being around Zach, I've been in his store and I'm thankful he's coming to Rockmart where I live. Like this guy, his culture around his stores are amazing. Like everyone loves to work for him. Like you work in there, you will never have bad service. I mean, hands down, probably one of the best Chick-fil-A's I've ever been to at Macklin Road. I mean, the service is fast, everyone's nice. And now he's gone a step ahead, he's wrote a book. I mean, how amazing is that?
Thank you.
So, I mean, just for our listeners out there, if they want to, you know, this book doesn't come out until when?
The book officially releases nationwide in November, and that's when it will be on Amazon and everything. But we actually printed a limited run of books for our local family at the Macklin Crossing restaurant at Rock Mart. And also we want to make those available to our listeners today. The quantities are limited, but they are available at leaderfarming.com. If you go there and click on the image of the book, and then I think there's another place you can click.
It says order the book. Yeah,
it says order the book, and we'll get it in the mail to you.
All right. And for our listeners out there, if they ever wanted to get in touch with you, Zach, or you, Jared, is there anywhere on social media or somewhere they can reach you, like an email address or something like that?
Sure. So leaderfarming.com, there's a contact page on there. You can get in touch with us there. My email is zach@leaderfarming.com. I think I have like 6 emails, but that's the easiest one to spell out. And then as far as social media, I'm my personal Facebook page is Zach Thomas. And then at Chick-fil-A, CFA Rock Mart is where I'll be going forward.
All right. Now, before we let you go, we have one last question we always ask all of our guests. And you can take your time to answer it. I want both of you to answer if you can. And it's, Darren, here.
If there's one thing that you know now that you wish you knew when you were starting out, what would that be? You could go back, say, like X amount of years and say, man, this information, if I knew this, what I know now, if I knew this back then, it would be a game changer. What would that be?
You know, I think it really goes back to what I said earlier. It's like, a lot of people feel like they have to be different, they have to be a certain way in order to be a leader. And really just being true to who you are and treating people with honor, dignity, and respect is going to get you so much further than anything else. And so a lot of times when people get put in a leadership position and they receive a title, and now all of a sudden everything changes and they feel like they've got to tell people what to do, and it's not really that way. And so you can actually lead people with not being without being a jerk, right? And so that's the thing. It's like just being comfortable in treating people with honor, dignity, and respect, but holding them accountable, and finding that balance between the two, and just being authentic and true to who I am, and not Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, right?
Right.
So, yeah, and I would say the biggest thing that I've learned, and I don't have as much experience under my belt as Zach does. I'm only 24 years old. I'm a millennial myself. But after trying a stint in the corporate world for 6 months and realizing this is not for me, and choosing to go into business for myself, I think the thing that I wish I would have known was to stick with it and to not give up when it gets hard. Because I know, especially with my generation, one of the big challenges is with the society we live in, everything is like instant success. I mean, it's even called Instagram. What's Insta short for? Instant.
Right.
Social media, microwave, mentality. Society has taught us to believe that if something takes a little bit of time or if it's slow, it's inherently bad, which is not always the case. And so I think the biggest lesson that I've learned that's helped me in my business of doing writing and editing and publishing is to learn that growing a business takes time, and even growing a life takes time. I don't need to drive the same type of car as my parents, live in the same type of house. It's okay to start small and to keep going when you're in those winter seasons, like what Zach talks about. You don't have to jump around and go, well, this isn't working, I'm going to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest lesson that I've, and I'm still in the process of learning.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I agree. All right, guys. Well, I'm Adam Wozniak.
I'm Darren Parkinson.
I'm Joy McDonald.
I'm Ryan Smith.
We are Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.